I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, gayest Denny's in the land.
2022-3.
Hit by a cold 7 inches.
Casper, the friendly insurance adjuster.
John Jagger.
Not my wife!
Self-cloning monster goldfish.
Village Inn of the Damned.
I am Grot.
Waiting for the other shoe knife to drop.
Heelys, the other shoe gadget.
I'm high up here.
One pool of fries, please.
James Bond and the TSA violations.
You almost became a Q sandwich.
Tech is the way with Tom.
The memes are taking over with Nicole. And more on this episode of
I'll Do It For You,
The Morning Stream.
We all know that Canadians like to pretend they're further north than Americans are, but they're really not, and I'm going to prove it to you.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
The Morning Stream. Get your Italian loafers out of my bedpan.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Wednesday, April 5th, 2022-3.
2022-3.
2022.3. Jeez, I'm what, a week into April, and I just about went back here?
Yeah, falling back.
What the frick? Must be all this snow. It's throwing me off. We got another, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 inches overnight.
Did you really? Yeah. Oh, my God. We had a dusting overnight, but, you know, nothing. Like, the streets are shiny, but not icy.
Yeah.
Just wet, and we're supposed to get into the 40s today, 60s tomorrow, and high 70s or mid-70s by the weekend.
See, that's what's crazy, is we're supposed to be 70s by Sunday or next Sunday, this coming Sunday. And that's insane. Because right now you go outside and it looks like the dead of winter, snow-packed everywhere, giant piles of it, and you're like, is this really going to melt in a week?
It's Rocky Mountain States, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it happens.
It is. So I'm looking forward to that. Although that looks like we're gonna have flooding. It's just gonna happen. I'm high up here.
You're high?
Yeah. I'm totally high right now. I'm doing the show high. but also we're located at a high point, and the people down at the bottom of the basin I worry about. So hopefully they've got a plan. I don't know what the plan is. Maybe they're going to do sandbag rivers and things.
I don't know. See, that's a scary thing. That's a really scary thing.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough.
Especially with what you've seen getting fished out of those rivers.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Dead body. That's right. That was that
dead
year.
Body.
Yeah. That was the year I saw a dead body. And that was a gnarly time. Anyway, hey, we're back, everybody. Might I recommend joining our Patreon, or at the very least getting to the stream early, because Brian just regaled his wonderful experience over at the Muse concert last night.
Yeah.
And man, it looked awesome. You should put some of that video up on Twitter or something.
I'm putting Twitter. That old dinosaur. That old dojosaur. No, I'm throwing those videos in our Discord in the TMS chatter channel.
Oh.
So all three of those videos, you can you have to download them. You can't view them because they're big. So you got to download them and watch them on your own device.
That's right. They are big. They're HDR. They're widescreen 4K.
That's right.
Yeah, Brian's not messing around.
3D with Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah, all the things. It's all there.
Everything.
I got to share something that blew my mind before we get into Battle Royale today. This is a text we got from Ender Panda, and I don't know why this hit me so hard, but it did. So I'm going to read it. By the way, he sent this to 801-471-0462, and he says, "Hello, Scott. Catching him on TMS and heard you mention supernatural stuff again." One of the things I found interesting is that we don't have ghost insurance. Insurance companies pour millions, if not billions of dollars, it's more like billions, into ascertaining the exact nature of our world and reality. If ghosts exist, then you can damn well be sure that insurance companies know about them, and you'd have contingencies for, say, swerving on the road because a ghost suddenly appeared in front of your car. I think you can reasonably conclude a lot of different things just based on this simple idea. Do insurance companies think something exists? If they don't, then it probably doesn't, says Ender Panda. It's a really good point. Like, think
it's
about
a
it.
Good point.
All the risks are calculated, and they make us pay for it. It's like your car, your earthquake insurance. All these things that are unpredictable are out there, but they don't have ghost or possession insurance or any of that.
Allow me to bring out my big butt, Scott.
Do it.
But there's no way of proving that you swerved your car because of a ghost. So the insurance wouldn't have to pay anything ever. They could bill the gullible people who buy ghost insurance. I'm actually surprised that there isn't ghost insurance, because it feels like a money, like a cash machine for insurance companies.
Well, you do have that aspect to it, but
right.
I think there is something to the idea that they can only get away with stuff that is provable. You know what
Correct.
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They say, okay,
So in other words, even though you couldn't prove the existence, even though you couldn't prove that you swerved because of the existence of ghosts, they won't offer insurance because there's no way to prove that ghosts exist.
Yeah, they can't prove that ghosts exist. And neither can we, obviously, because we can't prove it. We just say, well, yeah, I swerved because of a ghost. Like right now, probably somebody somewhere in some time has probably used that as an excuse. Like, how did you wreck your car? Oh, I was trying to avoid there were a group of ghosts crossing the street. And the insurance
and there wasn't
like,
a ghost crossing sign.
No, yeah. So I think there's something to this idea of, like, they would figure out a way to monetize it if it existed. They would, because they do everything.
For sure.
Now, other countries are like, what are you guys talking about? Dude, trust me, in America, if there's a way to do an insurance policy on something,
yeah,
that's the business. We do it.
I mean, because they would do it if they could do it. If they could get away with it. And so it's probably not necessarily the insurance company saying, oh, we won't do this. It's probably somebody there suggested, and they said, oh yeah, let's look into that. And they said, nope, we legally can't do this because we can't prove that the thing we're insuring against exists.
Yeah. Now, there may be some organization somewhere that isn't like a mainstream
insurance company that offers
ghost insurance
that you can buy.
Yeah. Like haunting insurance on your house or some BS. Right. But let me tell you what that is. That's a racket is what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
You think regular insurance is a racket, ghost insurance.
Yeah.
Extra rackety.
Listen, if you've spent money on ghost insurance, I have two simple words for you. A quote from the Amityville Horror about your haunted house insurance.
Get out.
Yeah, get out. Is that from Amityville Horror?
Yeah, the house said get out.
You know why I know you know that?
Because it scared the poop out of me.
Yeah,
because
that's the one movie that Brian always mentions as the one movie that really got him as a kid. Really freaked
out. Scared the living daylights out of me, sitting in my mom's Carmagia, watching that on the drive-in movie theater screen at the Sloan's Lake Twin Drive-In on Sheridan Boulevard.
Yeah, man, look, it's all burned in. I only have three memories of that movie. Here are my three memories. There was a toilet overflowing with something, like oil or something. some kind of black ooze coming out of a toilet. I don't remember what the deal was. And then
Texas tea, I think they called it.
Is that Texas tea? Sweet.
Texas tea. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting out of the South and moving to Bel Air now. Anyway, then the other one was flies. There were a lot of flies.
Yeah.
And I remember lightning would flash and the house, the two windows that are famous, you know, the shape of that weird
like
house.
They
look like eyes. That's all I remember. I have no other memory of that movie except those three things.
Yeah. Mine is the eyes at the window. That freaking red room in the bottom of the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the get out voice.
Well, we should film sack it so you can.
We have.
Oh, have we done? Have we done that movie?
Yeah, we totally have.
I don't remember doing it. Did we really do it? Dang it. I don't remember that at all.
I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. See, this happens though. We think we've seen a thing.
We totally do. And the longer we go with Film Sack, two things happen. Then we get a bigger library of movies that it's, you know, harder to remember what we've done, what we haven't done. The other thing that happens is we get old and our memory starts to fade. And so
you're absolutely right. It was 2014, episode 195. Go seek it out. I guess you dealt with your trauma then. I just don't remember.
I did. I'm all good now.
All right.
I'm good and happy and healthy. And
you think we should do any of the sequels, or we leave all that alone?
Oh, we certainly could.
Yeah, I don't know if. I'm sure
they're worse than the. And that movie was pretty bad.
Yeah, it wasn't actually.
The sequels are worse as far as production value.
Yeah, It wasn't ever a very good movie. It was just kind of. There was something in the news about that house recently. I should have put it on the show, and I don't remember what it was, but something's getting auctioned again, or it got. Sold or someone died in it or something weird. I don't know what it is. Someone could find it. Anyway.
Yeah, go buy that house. You know, I don't believe in the supernatural, but I still wouldn't buy that stupid house. I don't know why.
No. I wouldn't either, dude. I get you. I feel you. I don't believe in it either, but I don't want that house.
You know, here's what I'd do. If they offered it and said, all right, you can have it for $100. Great. I'll buy it for $100 and turn it into the scariest Airbnb you could possibly stay in.
You would make so much money.
I would make tons of money, and I would charge ghost insurance. Like, I'd offer that as a thing. If you're staying in the Amityville B&B, Bibby's ghost insurance available as an add-on to your Airbnb.
Yeah, don't use the toilet. Don't mind the flies. There's a few things you'd have to let people know about. The red room. Yeah. Don't go in the red room.
Well, the red room. Oh, no, that's where, like, if you're really adventurous, stay in the red room. We've got a bed and a TV set up in there, but the Wi-Fi doesn't make it.
No, they would say. That's
funny. Boy Bright reminds us, by the way, that Nick of Time is streaming.
I don't know what Nick of Time is doing.
Johnny Depp and Christopher Walken, and part of the movie is done in real time. So it's an ascent. I want you to assassinate the president.
I don't remember that at all. I don't think I've seen it.
And the last half of the movie is done in real time. And
okay.
Yeah.
That'd be worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy, I'm sure, is listening.
Yeah, he might be. Well, he's on vacation. I don't know if he's
listening. That's right. He's definitely not listening.
Yeah. He's out of town.
He's enjoying some Smothered with Christmas in New Mexico right now.
That's right. I think a lot of Blizzard folks, even not on the Diablo team, he's not technically on that team, but I think a lot of them are getting vacation in now because things are going to get nuts in June.
Oh.
And everyone's going to be all hands on deck kind of thing. So I think that's probably good for him to get out now. We still are doing recommendals today. Nicole will be with us, so watch for that later in today's show. We're going to do Babel Royale right now, though, and that requires a Dunaway to join us. And if I had this ready, I would. There it is. Okay, we're adding him. Here he comes. As he enters the room, let us all be kind and respectful of his wishes and his strange needs. I'm killing time while I wait for him to answer. Here he comes.
Don't look him in the eye when you approach him.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't offer him food.
Don't speak to him unless he speaks to you first.
Yeah, never give him food, ever. All right? And don't get him wet. All right? That's the main thing. Right. Don't get him wet.
Yep.
Our own personal Mugwai. It's Brian Dunaway joining us from South Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Brian. It's Scott. Oh, Mugwai. I thought it was Mugwai.
Is it Mugwai or Mugwai?
It's a Mug, yeah.
Oh, M-O-G-Y. Mug. Okay. I never did that.
Oh, M-O-G-W-A-I, not M-O-G-Y.
I think Mug. I always...
I just felt like I didn't have to spell the second half of the word.
And if you ever see Gremlins at Taco Bell after closing time, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Why Taco Bell? What's the reference there? Is that
because
in the movie?
They serve till like late. That's the late night place you go. That's the place you go when you're drunk. Either that or if you're local to my area, it's like the Huddle House.
Oh, the Huddle House. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do they go, hey, fourth meal,
then they run and jump in the toilet. It's terrible. Don't do it.
You know what's funny is my wife, not my wife. I say my wife.
Oh gosh! Now I can't wait to see what the correction is to who you called your wife.
I was gonna say. What was I gonna say? Oh, I was gonna say this is terrible. I was gonna say John Jagger, not my wife. My co-host on Core Wife, just one of my, I'm a polygamist on that show. I have two wives on that show. Anyway, he has a Denny's in Arizona. He says it's called the Gay Denny's. And I said, well, what's this about? And he said,
is it the Happy Denny's? Okay.
No, it's this place where it's unofficially just the place where all the local the local gays, that's a terrible way of saying
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
They all like to go there and congregate, and it's like a really friendly franchise to their to them, and they just go right. and hang out all night, and it's just it's where you go if you're gay and you want Denny's. That's what he told us.
I don't understand anybody.
We had a
Azar's
big boy that was our gay. Right.
Really? You had a gay big boy?
Yeah, it's gone now. Yeah, but there was a gay big boy.
That's great. That's great.
Hey, look, I don't understand any place of business that doesn't go, I don't want money. Give me the money. If I'm your place, come on.
It wasn't that other Denny's would turn them away. It was just that this place just kind of, you know how a place just naturally, organically becomes the place that you go? Yeah. Like as kids, we went to this Hardee's. We don't have Hardee's anymore. It's all Carl's Jr. I know you guys still have them down there, but before they were Carl's Jr., these Hardee's in high school, that's where we went. And it was the one we went to, and it was packed with kids from my high school. No other Hardee's got that business, just this one. Man. And it wasn't proximity or anything. We just picked it, and it organically became.
We went to the BK Lounge.
Yeah. Oh, the BK Lounge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had a Village Inn that we affectionately termed the Village Inn of the Damned.
Oh, nice.
Because we went there once. I received a hamburger and fries on a plate that was somehow swimming in water.
Nice.
Like a quarter inch of water on the plate.
Gross.
Like, are you brazing my burger while it's in the bun? What are you doing here with this?
That sounds horrible. Why is there water on the plate?
But the thing that should have been the dead giveaway is when the guy came to our table to take our order, he fished around for what seemed like minutes in the front of his apron pocket, dangerously close to his crotch, looking for a pen.
Great.
And it felt like minutes. Like, we could have walked up to the front counter, got a pen, and brought it back.
Definitely not it. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, I'm saving that for later.
gross. I don't want to go there. The minute I'd see water on a plate full of fries, I'm out of there, man. That's disgusting.
Yeah. You know, that'd probably come out of the dishwasher, right? It never let it dry off. It's like
maybe, maybe like as they were bringing it over, it was a glass of water was on the tray with it, and it spilled or something. Mm. I don't know. It was horrible.
Love it. Village of the Damned.
We loved calling it Village Inn of the Damned.
It's amazing. Yeah,
that's great.
Perfect.
I love that.
Well, good news, everybody. We already have a listener who's number four, and I'm going to pull him in. Okay. I say him because I know it's a him. It's actually, who is it? Oh, sorry. It's I Am Sci-Fi. Oh, my gosh, Ian. Didn't we have him last time and then we couldn't get him or something? And then we picked somebody else because he didn't pick up?
You might be right.
There's something weird going on there.
Oh, right. He had some weird phone issue. Yes.
Yep. Well, let's see if he has it this week. If he doesn't get in, I'll take the next closest. We're ringing him. He's not answering. He's not answering.
Ding.
Okay. That's no good. Okay. Well,
here's the thing, folks. If you do your darndest to become caller number four, maybe stay near your phone.
Yeah.
When it's time to play.
I think he's just, for some reason, some weird issue. I'll talk to him later. But you know what? Next in line is Dreadnecks. Let's see if he can be added. Dreadnecks coming in hot. Let's see if he answers.
He's always ready.
He's not answering either. Maybe it's. Oh, no, he is answering. Here he comes.
Oh, he's giving us video, too.
It's Dreadnecks. Dreadnecks, welcome to the show. Hi. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, we're going to see you in a few weeks, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes, you certainly will.
Oh, no way.
Somehow you ended up as Claire's bodyguard. Is that what I heard?
Is that the deal?
I'm taking her around to all the best vegan places because she doesn't eat meat. So while you're at Bacon Nation, we'll be chowing down on a veggie burger or something.
Might I recommend you avoid the Heart Attack Grill?
Yeah, don't go there. Do not go there.
Good recommendation.
Yeah, they don't have a good vegan menu at the Heart Attack Grill.
I don't think they even have a good menu at the Heart Attack Grill, let alone vegan.
You're not wrong about that. Well, Dreadnecks, you were number 4.5 today, and congratulations on being here. We're going to play a game. Brian Ibbitt's going to explain the rules.
Pay up front.
What?
They make you pay up front at the Heart Attack Grill.
No, you pay. Do they?
No, you pay when your meal's done. So it's really, they're taking the risk.
They really are.
That's a great idea, though.
You're all taking the risk.
But isn't that a great idea to pay before as a joke? Yeah. Is like, hey, you're at the Heart Attack Grill.
This is a joke. Well, it's a joke. Pay us.
On the way in, they weigh you. And I think they do give you some sort of discount because there's that giant scale in front of the restaurant. And if you stand on it, the more you weigh, the more discount you get off of your bill.
That is hilarious.
That's funny.
So they want to encourage the close to death.
I am not getting on that scale. No morbid, way.
Morbidly obese. Right. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey,
it's time to play the Tadpooley feud, folks. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics. Scott and Brian have to predict the answers that they gave us, and it's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. I am Dreadnex. Your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. And if your team wins, you'll get a prize package that includes Ticket to Ride and XCOM 2. Oh. Woo! Courtesy of David Akers. Two stellar games right
there. Yeah, no kidding. That's great. Man, we have such nice donators that give us these codes.
We really do.
Yeah. It's great.
And you know, one's good for the family, one's good for after everybody's gone to bed. You can play some XCOM 2.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's get to this. By the way, folks, keep your eyes open in the next week or so. There will be a new Tadpooley feud survey.
Oh.
Because we're getting close to the end of this question batch, and so I have to have a whole bunch of new ones. But the good news is you guys have all provided me with new questions to use. So really, you only have yourselves to blame. Yeah. All right.
That's the truth.
Put your hands on your buzzers, gentlemen.
All right.
And let's see. Do I need to give you a little caveat?
Caveats.
All right. Think, you know, feel free to be broad in your answers and be specific. And I'll tell you if you need to be more specific.
Okay. We'll
do that.
Fair enough. Right. Fair enough. I like it.
Okay. All right.
You feel
hands
like
on your buzzers. We asked 500.
Stressing Ibbot out. He hasn't even asked the question.
I know. We really have.
Oh,
we asked 513 tadpoolers. 9 of them passed. Losers.
Yeah.
Name a James Bond gadget.
Damn it.
Brian.
What? Why are you cussing?
I'm because I cuss when I lose. Go.
Right. I like that watch thing he's got that he can choke people with. Isn't that one of his? But I see what you mean by being broad and specific.
Yes. Nope. That's okay. Good. You went as specific as I need you to be. So excellent. The wristwatch Grot, believe it is.
Yeah.
Show me wristwatch Grot.
Oh,
jeez.
One of my favorite ones, though.
Is it Grot? Grot?
People,
Grot? I don't know what it is.
Grot. Grot?
Grot? I think you're right. I think Brian's right. I think that's it.
It's pronounced Garot.
I think it's Garot.
It's pronounced Groot is what it is.
Oh, it's Groot? Oh, shit. Well, now we know that. Spoilers for Volume 3 of Guardians of the Galaxy. all right.
Scott, you get a free shot.
Favorite gadget, eh? Broad.
Name a James Bond gadget.
Let's do...
Go gadget.
Oh, geez. Oh, shoot, Christ. I'm torn here. Okay, you know what? I'll just do rocket, fire, and car. Car with rockets.
Rocket, sure. Fire, all right. Car.
Show me rocket, firing, car. Look at this. We have Groot, and now we have rocket.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Job.
Number 8.
Headlight
gun slash rocket.
That's all you needed. Yes. Some good points, too, man.
Dreadnecks, that means you and me,
yeah,
buddy.
Dread,
all right. You and me, Scott.
Yeah, give me your hot one. What do you got on the tip of your tongue?
So I played GoldenEye on the N64 yesterday. In it, he had like a pen exploder thing. Can we say pen?
Yeah, an exploding pen. That was the one I was wrestling with between this and the car. I think that's a good one. I say exploding pen is good. Let's do it.
Exploding pen.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Cumming clicks it once.
That's right.
And then he clicks it again. But on the third click, is it going to blow up? No, he sets it down. Show me ballpoint pen grenade.
Yeah.
Number 2 answer on the board.
Woo, stuff. I like it. Okay. Yes. Let's do... Oh gosh, Dreadnecks, do you have another one? I can't think of anything.
What about the laser watch? He's got a watch that's also a laser.
Oh right, that can cut into stuff, like cut through metal and stuff. Yeah, laser watch. That's a good one.
Laser watch. Sure. All right. Show me laser watch.
Number one
that's
answer.
That's what I should have went for.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't expect
apparently
that.
Apparently everybody plays GoldenEye on the survey.
Well, wait, that
doesn't hurt.
Should we stay in that neighborhood? What else does GoldenEye do? You know what I really liked? This isn't going to be on here, though. That's bad. I liked this car that went underwater, but I think we already got Well, you did Headlight Guns and Rockets.
You got the number one answer, and I got the no answer.
Yeah, you got nothing. Let's do the amphibious car, the car that could go underwater.
Sure. Sure. Lotus Esprit.
Yeah.
I think it was called Wet Nelly, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
show me Wet Nelly.
Wet Nelly.
Really sounds like a Bond girl. Show me Wet Nelly.
Wet Nelly. Oh, Wet Nelly. Yeah.
Submarine car. Okay.
Number five, submarine car.
That was a For Your Eyes Only, maybe?
Yes.
I think that's right.
Correct.
What about the jetpack from Moonraker? Are we considering that a gadget?
Yeah, sure. I like that. That's a good one. Jetpack from Moonraker.
Jetpack. All right. Let's go on a little jetpack joyride. Show me jetpack.
Oh,
rocking this joint. This is great.
Let's see. 22. There are 7, 14. There's still
you can still win.
Still have a chance to win. Yeah.
Yeah. And you trounced me so hard Monday. This feels good right now. So let me have one. What else do you like, Dreadnex? I like your head. Where your head's at?
I don't know. All I can think now is like proximity mines or slappers only in that.
Oh, because yeah, those modes. And I was thinking Golden Gun, but again, it's a tadpole. They might say Golden Gun, even though it's not a gadget, but it's in that game and it's so prominent. But that makes me nervous. How about this Oil Slick? I'm staying with cars. Ooh. Oil
sure.
slick.
A little oil slick spray that comes out of the back of the car. Yeah. Sure. All right. Show me all that stuff I just said.
Ah, boo. Boo, oh. I say. Boo.
A very popular still. Let's see. And to
so that
to
wasn't
wrap
a euphemism.
No.
That wasn't euphemism. That's not his pants.
No, right. It's not his pants.
Was number 19, by the way. Oil slick is somewhere in this list. Oh, God, it's so hard to look through this list because there's so many items here. Oil it's on the slick. List. People said it, but okay. Oh, there it is. Number 14.
Oh, that's not bad. It's up there.
Not bad at all.
All right, Dunaway, you can steal right. here if you want.
What's this little red button do? Ejector seat.
Ejector seat, sure.
We just
right.
this.
Whether it's for ejecting your own seat or the one of your passengers. All right, show me ejector seat.
Yeah. Yeah, nice one. That's good. That's worth what? Mm-hmm. You're worth 4 points.
Number four right. answer on the board.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's
you're
fine.
Chipping away. Yeah. You're chipping away.
Chipping away. Chippy chip chips. How about we go with all I can think of is that he had like a. He's always got a cigarette lighter, but I don't. I specifics is what I'm thinking of. But lighter bomb. I don't know.
Sure.
Lighter.
Sure.
Lighter.
Cigarette lighter. Lighter.
Yeah. Gadget.
Okay. All right.
Vibrator.
Show me anything with a cigarette lighter.
Oh, come on.
Man.
Yeah. There were, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that there were a couple cigarette lighter things that people said. One was the bomb grenade, number 28, and the other was the cigarette lighter that is a tracking device that we just saw in Goldfinger.
Oh.
And neither of those made the top 10, so I just left them.
Man.
Okay.
Didn't he have like a shoe telephone at some point? That feels like a fun gadget.
That might have been.
Just say shoes and see if that's generic.
Actually, I agree. He has weird shoe shit. That's a good one. Right. I think you might be thinking of what's his name.
Be more specific with the shoes.
No, shoe could be a blade. It could be what else we got? Dreadnecks. Let's not get burned.
I like phone. I like phone.
Yeah, shoe phone. I like that one.
All right, we'll do shoe phone. I feel like that might be Get Smart, but let's do it.
Dadgummit, Mac was smart. I tried to fool you.
Yeah.
Show me. Chafe. Missed it by that much.
Is that what we're thinking of? Is it from that and never bought?
Yeah.
It's totally Get Smart.
Maxwell Smart. Yeah. He's got the shoe. He's got the shoe phone.
I always get those two confused.
Yeah, I mean, it was a parody of Bond anyway, right? The whole idea.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's stick with that's how he actually ended this, right?
By the way, though, to clarify, several people in the tadpole also said shoe phone, so it was number 16 on the list. So a lot of people thought Get Smart, so don't feel bad.
Once again, does it have to be accurate? Just has to be what the tadpole says.
That's right.
How about, he does have some shoe stuff, though, but it seems like he used, like, we just watched the one, and he had like the it was the tracker inside of his shoe, but then he.
No, this is good because Brian. Remember what Brian said? He said, "I need you to be more specific, right?"
Yeah.
So that tells me there's another shoe thing on here. That's smart.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You're on my team, not W.
Sorry, Dan. Yeah, it's a good point. I do not want him to win.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with the shoe tracker.
And the shoe. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Show me track shoes.
Oh, that's a shame.
I knew it was gonna be
a real
wrong.
Shame. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But do you think I'm right, Dreadnecks, that there's another shoe one here and we're just missing it?
Oh, there's definitely another shoe we're missing. I'm trying to think like shoe bomb or shoe knife or something like that.
Yeah, knife feels... I swear I've seen the knife thing in a million movies, though, not necessarily just Bond ones, and that's why I'm worried about that one. We just saw Goldfinger. Is it possible... I say this out loud and maybe Dunaway steals it if we don't take it. But anyway, the exploding briefcase was a thing. But that's not really a gadget. It's kind of dumb. I mean, it's just an exploding briefcase. Everyone could make one of those, you know? It's
not
Did he have x-ray glasses? No way. Is that true? What was that from? Was he looking at ladies? Oh, yeah. No, he did. Was it Goldeneye, the movie? Something we saw in FilmSack where there was x-ray glasses being used, and it was him using them. Yeah, you know what? Let's do that. X-ray glasses, Brian.
All right. X-ray specs, just like he found in the back of some comic book.
Yeah. Right. Yep. After the bullies beat him up, he got to his comic book, and he got the x-ray specs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Show me x-ray specs.
Damn it.
Oh.
Dang.
Let's see. That one was number 44. People did say x-ray specs.
All right.
Briefcase bomb. I'm going briefcase bomb.
Briefcase bomb? Okay. And I think it was From Russia with Love, right? He didn't have one in gold.
Oh, sorry. No. Yeah. What was the...
He had that whole tricked out briefcase with...
Yeah, he did. Had all
like
the stuff
a knife
in it.
Hidden in one part and coins.
I'm mixing them up because he used it at the end to confuse the guy that would be in Jaws, that guy.
Yeah.
And that was the wrong movie. All right. Yeah.
But briefcase bomb just feels right. Even if it's not on there, it just feels good.
Yeah. Bomb in the briefcase. All right. Show me briefcase bomb.
That's a shame.
Briefcase bomb was number, it was in here also. 26 was the briefcase dagger. Exploding briefcase?
Is it really a gadget if it's just in a briefcase? I mean, I can put anything in a briefcase. You can just put a gun in a briefcase. Is that a gadget?
I don't know. It kind of is.
That's kind of Q's strategy, right? Let me add a gun to this device or an explosive to this device.
Or a laser or, yeah, exactly. Congratulations to I Am Not Sci-Fi, Dreadnecks. Congratulations, you've won.
Congratulations, thanks. You're a winner.
I Am Sci-Fi for not showing up.
Yeah, thank you
again.
Yeah. It's gonna be like it should be the consistent joke, like Kimmel always saying, "No time for Matt Damon."
All right,
let's see what the rest of these are. This, if you would have said any form of other than the submarine car, any sort of car, just car, I would have given you number 3.
Oh, son of a...
Which
really?
the Aston Martin.
It was fully loaded.
I mean, it's fully loaded with gadgets. It itself, I would not call a gadget, but...
No. Right. It's the carrier of many gadgets.
Exactly. Like the briefcase is the carrier of many gadgets.
Yeah.
Did he have Heelys? I bet they didn't see that coming.
Heelys. Wouldn't that be great that the other shoe one on the list is the Heelys? Yeah. Show me number 7. The fountain pen gun.
Oh, that's right, because it goes...
Yep, that one was in... let's see. Oh, I'm never going to find it.
I just remember it hitting a dummy. Like, into a dummy.
Yeah, yeah, like a blow dart kind of thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pens, number 9 is the hypodermic needle pen. This was actually used by one of his Bond girls... to try and subdue him with like a pen that had a hypodermic needle.
Never had a pen that was a straw. Never did that. Okay.
Killed by your own poison pen or something like that.
I have a toothache.
That'll teach you to write poison pen letters. I'm not going to be your poison pen pal.
Oh, nice.
And then number 10, you guys danced all around this one. the shoe dagger, even though James Bond himself didn't wear it.
I'm going to say that that was the Russian lady that wore the shoe. That's why I didn't say it.
Yeah. Yeah, Rosa Klebb wore it and did her little happy dance.
That wasn't his gadget. Once
again, but it's the tadpole says. See, it's the tadpole.
That would have down the rest of the list. Yeah. Magnet wristwatch, wrist mounted dart gun, remote controlled car. Pierce Brosnan had that in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, that's right. That was cool though. Everybody wants
wristwatch
one of those.
Detonator. Odd Jobs hat again. Well, I guess Bond was the only one. No, I was going to say Bond is the only one who actually used it to hurt somebody, but he even missed Odd Job. Odd Job just really destroyed a statue with that. Did Odd Jobs hat ever actually hit anybody?
No, it just
hit he killed one of the sisters, remember?
Did he?
Oh, yes, right. Okay.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
in the woods. The he said, Bond said run, and she says, okay.
Yeah,
and
then, no, you know, you're right.
Like, sucker.
You're right. So killed one person, a statue, and then set or turned on the electricity to kill Odd Job. Those are
right,
the three
exactly.
Things.
So really still was and kind killed, of using the hat.
Yeah.
And he killed one of his goons. No, he threw him over. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Boombox. We talked about the cigarette lighter gun. Fingerprint scanner and replicator. Yeah. The golden gun was on the list, number 24. The alligator submarine. The let's see, that's the same thing. Cufflinks. Somebody just said cufflinks. Actually, two people said cufflinks, and I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
The explosive toothpaste, the Dentonite, I think it's called.
Oh, no way.
That yet in the,
I forgot
in
about
our
that.
Film
that's great.
Watching.
Yeah.
Flamethrower bagpipes, grappling hook gun.
The flamethrower bagpipe has got to be the most.
That sounds amazing. I don't remember what that's in. That must be
a. That was in a Q. That was just in the Q laboratories. He never actually used it himself. Okay. Q sandwich, which really was just a sandwich.
Which is Q sandwich.
James Bond picks it up and says, "What does this do?" And throws it or something.
That's my lunch.
My lunch. Bond. James, do pay attention. Seagull wetsuit. Smoke screen, car exhaust. People who weren't playing GoldenEye were playing Spy Hunter. Ultralight plane. And a bunch of people had different variations of his penis, his libido, a woman.
I was curious about that.
Like, basically...
It's not his gadget, you
one
guys.
One of my favorites is we haven't watched The Man with the Golden Gun yet, but we will get to Fake Nipple. Being a
I remember the fake nipple. We got to get that.
That's all.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's great. Fake
and
nipple. Jammy
pants.
Oh, jammy pants. All right.
Jammy pants.
That's fantastic. Dreadnecks. It's good not only that you won, but that we won. Really, as a team. I'm going to give you most of the credit.
Work.
That's right. But you're going to get that's these codes because you're the big winner here. And having you on was a real treat as always. How do you feel about your big win?
Yeah, this was great, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Vegas a little later this month.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me on.
Right on, man. Woo-hoo. We'll see you later. Hey, Dunaway, today.
Hey, Scott.
We're going to do Play Retro today. That's happening.
Yeah,
and
we are.
We're going to talk about Super Dodgeball. We're going to talk about Ransom City Ransom. What's it called?
River
City
Ransom.
Ransom. That's it.
Ransom
City Ransom.
Which is funny because that's the one I played the most of this week and I couldn't remember the name. Anyway, we're going to talk about
Kunio
all those
Kun games on the NES.
That's right.
If you're not familiar with that, that's all those, the Dodgeball and the River City Ransom and the Crash and the Boys.
Crash and the Boys is the weirdest freaking title I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah. It's pretty weird.
So we're going to dig deep.
But at least it's
that.
Not as sucky as Renegade, which was the... that was such a crap game, but we'll talk more about that.
Renegade's bad, but River City holds the hell up.
And, yeah, it does.
Yeah, if you like side-scrolling beat 'em ups, that thing is like the king, in my opinion. I love that game.
Yeah. So, I didn't know that how tightly woven it was with Double Dragon. I got to learn all this cool stuff this past week. Yeah. That, and I always thought that River City Ransom was just a knockoff.
Yeah, I did too.
Double Dragon, but it's so much more. It's got all these RPG elements I didn't know about.
Kind of the other way around in a way. But we'll talk all about it tonight, 3:30 Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants, however you get there. Mm-hmm. And come hang out with me and Brian. And if you don't get it there, get it on the podcast a little later, wherever you get your podcasts. Brian, kiss our butts. Bye. All right. There goes Brian. We're going to do a quick news story. And let's play this first.
I don't watch the news.
Hey, Brian, the news today is brought to us by...
In a quiet Georgia town, a film director is murdered. Was it the grieving husband? Was it a close friend? Was it an old enemy out for revenge? One fiery redhead detective is on the case. Yeah, damn it. That's just a taste of the exciting new book from Tad Pooler, R.B. Willis. Just search Amazon for The Case of the Weeping Ham, a Freddy Falcon mystery, to nab yours today. Oh, and it's included with Kindle Unlimited subs.
Yep, I just downloaded it on Kindle Unlimited. Was happy to see it there, and very stoked for another Tad Pooler doing a rad thing.
For sure. The Case of the Weeping Ham with two M's.
That's right.
As in John Ham.
Like John Ham. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Good job, R.B. Willis. I think that's awesome. I admire authors a lot, especially self-published ones. I think that's awesome. All right. We got one. We'll probably get one story in here. A self-cloning monster goldfish. They're invading Canadian waters now.
Okay.
Canada!
It's happening.
Self-cloning monster goldfish.
That's right. This is what it says. Many people often keep goldfish as pets, Brian, as you know. That's the thing. Did you have one growing up or no?
Never had a goldfish.
I had one for a while. Had, do you have hamsters? Just gerbils.
Yeah, just never any fish.
Mm. We did fish, various kinds of fish. We had a goldfish for a while. I think we called him Eddie. It's my memory.
Tristan had a beta.
Yeah. How'd the beta do? Did he kill other things?
We had only one beta. We never got the the Golden Master release.
I think it's funny they call him the sorry, made me laugh at that. I think it's funny they call him beta fish and not alpha fish, given how
right because they're angry they are. Because they're the alpha, like they fight to become the alpha.
Yeah, they should eat the beta fish. I don't get why they did that, but anyway. Or maybe it's not beta the way I'm saying beta. Maybe it's beta or betta or something like that. I don't know.
Could be.
I haven't looked that hard into it.
Fish, yeah.
But anyway, people do that as pets, and it's not hard to see why. They're pretty easy. Goldfish are as intelligent as they come when it comes to fish. This article says it makes them such well-appreciated guests to have a small pond, or to have in a small pond, fish bowls, and aquariums. But if you think it's all glee and fun with goldfish, think again. They're quickly becoming a menace to Canadian waters. Canadian glee goldfish. And fun. Yep, that's right. Canadian goldfish owners are starting to rethink as these acceptable pet fish have become a cause for concern by becoming self-cloning monsters. And then they go into detail here. Basically, they replicate at an alarming rate. I'm going to pull a picture up here.
Here we go. They're huge,
they're
too.
They're huge, and they're everywhere.
Football-sized.
Yeah, and nobody wants these. They want these to be gone. Look at that thing. Gosh, dang it, dude. Look at that hole. Look at, and they got water in the second photo. My gosh. There's so many of these. It's disgusting. Yeah. You don't want to eat these. They're weird. I don't think you want to eat them. And they're all over the place. So Canada, we're thinking of you. And, we want you to be safe.
For the love of God, don't feed them Tim Hortons. This is what it's doing to them.
Look what it's done to. Oh my gosh, this one picture of this guy's holding this. That's as big a fish as I've ever seen.
That's as big as a medium-sized dog.
Yeah, easily. And it's also wrinkly like one.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so fat in the middle and skinny on the end.
Yeah, bulbous.
I kind of want one.
Head up to Canada and you can help them out by getting one.
They get even bigger. I did like four pictures.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's the one I was saying was like a.
It's humongous. I thought I'd seen the maximum. No.
Yeah.
I hadn't. All right. That's enough of that. Let's do a break. When we come back from this break, Tom Merritt will join us. We'll have a little tech talk. And after that, we got recommendals. You know, it's your usual Wednesday here on the TMS show. Before we do that, though, Brian brought a little package. He's going to unwrap it and tell us what's inside. Brian?
Oh, let me see. Let me take off the bow here. And I got to save the card. I'll read the card last. Hey, we're going up to the Bay Area for a 7-piece band that, if you've got the late, great Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings driving one direction, and then you've got, and coming from the other direction, you've got the Black Keys, and they're not paying attention, and they bonk their cars. Everybody's fine. Everybody's okay. Of course, Sharon Jones no longer with us. But where those two cars bumped into each other, they created a band called Con Brio, Conbrio. This is a brand-new studio album from them called Scream At It. It's got blues, R&B, rock and roll, pop, soul, all of it, all in one song. Here is the first single from their brand new album. It is called Tranche.
Tranche? I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting that.
Wow. Tranche.
Tranche. That's an amazing, that's the sound the cars made. They banged into each other.
That's the noise it made, yes.
All right, here it is. It's Tranche. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
In fast food restaurants, cafeterias, and department stores, the signs are up, and some smokers are fuming.
If people don't want to smoke, that's fine. They should stay out of the restaurant.
If I'm smoking and I happen to have to go to the bathroom and I go in there, I don't feel like I should have to put it out just so I can go to the bathroom.
I thought I heard something in here. Did you toot?
The Morning Stream. Gas up the machine. She's down to fumes.
And we're back, everybody. Please tell me who Tranche or where Tranche came from again, please.
Yeah, that song Tranche came from a band called Con Brio, which is Spanish for with Brio, from their brand new album Scream At It, which is going to be released this summer. That's the first single. And again, it is called Tranche.
Tranche. It's impossible to say that without doing it without affectation.
I know. You can't say it with a period.
No.
It can only be said with an exclamation point.
Doesn't seem right. Very strange. Yeah. All right. Check it out, everybody. We got this going.
The world of tomorrow will be as cold as sunlight tuned through photochromic windows.
I ride it naked.
He sure does. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Tom Merritt. He is our tech expert who joins us each and every Wednesday to talk about the tech stories of the day. Tom Merritt, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you again for having me, Brian and Scott, Scott and Brian.
Oh, that's right.
It
that's
is good
how we
to have you.
We prefer to be called that. So next time, don't forget it. Just kidding. Tom, it's great to have you back.
Those are our names. Please wear them out.
That's right. The world of tech doesn't start until I hear what Tom has to say about it. That's true every day. So
by golly, that's true.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way, but it is the way for you.
It is the way. Yeah, it's the way.
This
is the way. Tell us what's going on. There's probably something popping out there. What's going on right now?
Yeah, you ever heard of Shigeru Miyamoto?
I have. He's a designer of quality video games since the early, late 70s or something like
and
that.
And he's the Iron Chef. Oh, no, different one.
Different guy, yeah.
Iron Chef of video games, perhaps.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I would call him a legend.
I would, too.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was having a little talk with Variety about Mario, because we got the Mario movie coming out, right? So Variety, they cover the entertainment business. They sit down with Miyamoto. They say, let's talk Mario. You've had a big hand in this Mario thing. Tell us about the Mario.
Right.
One of the things he said in the course of that interview, which talked a lot about a lot of things, was mobile apps will not be the primary path of future Mario games.
Oh.
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 Well, okay.
I mean, I didn't think it would be either, but that is
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel like this is saying, like, yeah, it never was the primary.
Exactly. Like, we love consoles. We're going to stay on consoles. You'll get the occasional app, but that's not going to be our focus. Like,
Yeah. Okay. It's not surprising, but it does say something, right? It says you can't get much further up the chain at Nintendo than Miyamoto, and to have him basically say it's not our strategy to think that mobile's the future. Outside of what we do mobily with our console, of course, but not phones. I don't think is I think is also it's two things. It seems obvious, but also on the other hand, it seems like okay. Well, there's something from Nintendo that we haven't actually heard. That's them putting a flag in the ground, saying yeah, we don't think Mario's future is on phones. And I agree with
him. Yeah, I think if you were going to emphasize that you're continuing your strategy with mobile, I think there'd be a couple things. One is it would be phrased more like mobile is a wonderful platform that we are going to continue to explore. But of course, our primary game focus is always blah, blah, blah. Instead, it was it will not be our primary focus. Added on top of the fact that Dr. Mario World was removed from the App Store after 2 years. Mario Kart Tour is their best revenue generating game at $300 million compared to Mario Kart 8's $3 billion. This does feel like Nintendo's saying, you know, we're pulling back from mobile with Mario anyway. I guess maybe not Nintendo, but Miyamoto is saying that.
Sure.
And he talked a lot about how they design these games, which I thought was pretty interesting. He says, you know, we try to define what is the gameplay, what is the method, and then define what devices they go on. And a lot, he talked a lot about the integrated strategy of hardware and software and how that's difficult when you're doing it on a phone where it's the screen and your thumb.
Yeah.
And you can add Bluetooth controllers and stuff, but most people who play a game on a phone are going to be using screen and thumb, so you have to design for that.
Yeah, I think I think they certainly gave it a, I don't think this is them going, well, it didn't work out, because they made a lot of money on mobile. It's just I think that they know their limits, and they did Mario. They did a version of a Fire Emblem. There's a Fire Emblem kind of
There's a few others out there.
Game.
Right? Yeah.
Sure. There's their Mario Kart game on there. There's an Animal Crossing mobile game. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're all money makers, except that Dr. Mario World didn't make any money, as far as I know. But I think this is just them acknowledging what we all probably thought, which is this isn't really going to be their place. They want a little piece of it. Go ahead and take whatever part of the pie you want, but it's not going to be their primary focus. And I don't think it'll be anyone's that are currently Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo would all love the money that's made in mobile, but that it's never going to be their primary output. I just can't see it. I mean, maybe it will one day and I'll eat my words, but I don't think they ever do.
Yeah, I wonder if this means we'll never see a Mario game on mobile again, which I kind of feel like that's what it means.
Yeah.
But he also didn't want to rule out the possibility. I feel like there's a strategy for some Mario adjacent or Mario branded mobile games, mm-hmm. right? They tried to do Super Mario Run. They're trying to capture what Mario does and put it on a game. And I think maybe what you do is like a Nintendo puzzle game, mm-hmm. where Mario is one of the characters in there.
Yeah. I actually think Mario versus Rabbids, which is technically a Ubisoft joint. It's in conjunction with Nintendo, but it's published by Ubisoft. That game would lend itself extremely well to mobile.
Be great for mobile. Yeah.
I'd play the hell out of it on there.
XCOM style.
Like a tactical XCOM game like that would be really good there, but I wouldn't hold my breath. In that same interview, I was reading that interview yesterday. And part of it got carried by IGN, and they had a quote that I liked. He says, he was talking about Dr. Mario, and he says, Mario is a blue-collar guy. He is a regular person. So even when he becomes Dr. Mario, there's sort of some shadiness to it, like, can I trust this person?
Yeah.
I love that.
Wait, is that because he's blue collar or because he's a straight ahead arrow? And then when he becomes a doctor, you shouldn't trust the academics.
Well, that's weird. So that is weird, right? Like, I don't know how to quite take it. Maybe it's a little bit lost in translation, but it feels like what he's saying is, hey, that plumber over there, he's doing physicals now. I don't know if I trust that. Like, that maybe that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that tracks. Yeah.
That's weird.
I love my plumber. He's great. Yeah. I don't know if I trust him to, to test my colon or anything.
Yeah, you're not going to walk over and go, does this look infected to you, to your plumber and let him touch it?
You might, but you probably shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and recommend against it, actually. I think it's a bad idea. That's interesting. I recommend listening.
I fully expect you to get an email from someone who's like, well, my plumber actually went to med school and used to be a doctor, so I actually did this.
But. Oh, well, in that case, sure. Like, if you got somebody who's just a savant, or they're just like, I got tired of
Out of the rat race.
Yeah, I'm out of the rat race, but I still know enough to tell you that you should get that thing removed or whatever, then fine. But Mario spends all his time in pipes and then suddenly he's a doctor? Give me a break.
Yeah. Did he go to school? Does he even wash his hands after he's dealing with the pipes?
No.
Before he starts?
Heck no.
Should.
He should wash everything after sitting on Yoshi.
He might be good at stomach issues, though.
He might be. It's a really good point. Anyway, this is an interesting interview. People should check it out. And there'll be more on Daily Tech News Show. Probably get it mentioned.
Yeah.
Today.
I figured what we could talk about on Daily Tech News Show is like, well, if you're not doing mobile,
yeah.
which was once the future of gaming.
Right.
And you're not doing cloud gaming.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Is still relevant?
Yeah. What are you doing? And that's a great question for whatever's next for them, because I have all kinds of questions about what Nintendo does next. Like, and they're not answering the question. Not yet. But I got questions. That'll be fun. I love that kind of stuff. And I'll be there today. So look forward to the Daily Tech News Show, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. And, come watch live. But if you can't, get the podcast and all that stuff. Tom, you probably got other cool things brewing. Anything else going on you'd like to mention?
I'm real excited this week. If you have not already subscribed, and I know some of you have, but if you have not already subscribed to Know A Little More, knowalittlemore.com, you want to get in there. You don't want to miss tomorrow's big return. Know A Little More comes in seasons. So, it's been since December since we had a full season. Or maybe it was early January. We did put out a special on Section 230last month. But we have a big relaunch. We wrangled in Justin Robert Young's Dog and Pony Show audio. to help spruce up the place. So we have a full season of better storytelling, improved production value. Amos is still working on it. He's working hand in hand with Justin's team. So we're going to premiere the relaunch, the big relaunch of Know a Little More Thursday with the story of RSS. Now, you may go like, RSS is rife with personalities. It's rife with backstabbing. The RSS protocol, by all accounts, should not still be around. We're going to tell you that story starting Thursday. So get over there and get subscribed at knowalittlemore.com.
Sounds nice. Also, cool. The self-same Justin Robert Young will be here on Monday for about 15 minutes promoting their new season of The Greatest Con. Which will be fun.
Yeah, it's a big couple of weeks for Dog and Pony Show Audio.
Yeah, they're having a moment there. Anyway, look forward to that. Tom, I look forward to DTNS later today. Check it out. Tom Merritt, he is Ace Detect on Twitter while it lasts. Tom Merritt, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You like how I added that while it
lasts? I do,
lasts
while
part.
It lasts, yes. Very, very good.
It's,
very good.
It's real weird over there right now. okay, now we can talk streaming.
Good. I've been wanting to talk streaming for a while, Scott. I'm glad you could join me.
Well, it's the hot new technology, Brian. Please, we got to talk about it.
Yes.
You know, it's please about sit down. It's about sitting about down. It's about hitting a button, hitting play. That's
right.
Filling your head with all sorts of stories, and then deciding whether we should tell anybody about it. That's how this works.
Yes. See, I'm stalling because I'm entering in all of our choices onto quicktms.li so that I don't have to do that while everybody's talking.
And I'm stalling because, oh, nope, she's here. Here we go. We're playing it now, everybody. Check it out.
Well, what do you recommend?
Yes, that music means it's time for recommendals. And today...
What? This is the first time I'm hearing this.
I know, you weren't here. Wait, were you here last week?
She was here last week.
Oh, you were, but you came in late. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's right. I'd already played it, and then you joined. Yeah, I got
is that
a nice
like an AI or something.
No, this is like a I got it off something else. I can't remember, but
you stole it from the background of the This American Life story.
I definitely sampled it from somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't remember where I got it. Anyway,
it is talking to a woman in a coffee shop.
Act three.
But it's not an ordinary coffee shop.
Yeah,
it's a coffee shop of death.
We're going full NPR starting today. It's happening. We need public funds as well, so let us know if you can. You'll get a tote bag if you support the show. Anyway, hey, Nicole's here. Randy's not. He's out of town, so we're doing this with the three of us, and very excited about it. Glad to have you back, of course. Brian, we're going to start with you, because we always start with you.
Sure.
Set this up so we know what we're doing.
Sure. This is a film, just came out recently, and I prepared myself as best I could to watch this film. You'll probably be able to figure out because the part of the title of the film is said multiple times in this audio clip.
Oh my gosh. All right. That's a lot. Here it is. Let's see what we got.
No. Relax. This isn't about you and your predilections. There's this chap, Detective Chief Inspector Luther, and he's in charge of finding this poor young lad, Callum. And I can't allow that to happen, I'm afraid. Now, listen. From what I hear, DCI Luther's a bit of a bad apple. The trouble is, he's a very analog bad apple. He doesn't have what you might call an online presence, which is why I'm calling you. I want everything on him. Every furtive little secret, every intimate disgrace. I want his corruption. I want evidence of any misstep, any wrongdoing, any line he's crossed. I want his shame.
It is Gollum, right?
That is Gollum, yeah, looking for, not protecting, but not letting Luther find a kid named Callum. Callum. all I could ever hear every time you mention Callum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the brand new Luther, the Fallen Son movie, which is on Netflix. It is a the movie continuation of the 5-season series, that BBC series Luther, starring Idris Elba. I prepared by binging like crazy the 5 seasons of Luther since I'd never seen it. started a few weeks ago and got through them before they got pulled from Hulu on April 1st. However, you can still watch them on BritBox and Pluto TV for free, I believe, on Pluto TV. So if you want to watch, if you want to watch Luther, you've never seen an episode of Luther, basically he is a detective in London for a department that specializes in serial killers and unusual murders. And very early on in the series, he befriends a woman named Ruth, or I'm sorry, a woman named Alice, played by Ruth Wilson. And she, you know, she early on is kind of like a muse to him, a little bit of a Hannibal Lecter to him. She doesn't make an appearance in this film, but you do get Cynthia Erivo from 12 Years a Slave and you know what? I'm not even going to guess because I'm going to get it wrong, I'm sure. Mm. But she's fantastic as the new, as a new detective in that same department. That same.
She's awesome in everything she's in. I love
her.
She
is. She absolutely is.
Just looked her up.
The
she's
outsider.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then, of course, as you heard, you did get Andy Serkis in here as well, who I'm glad. You find out very early on that he's the murderer, because as soon as you hear his voice, you're like, okay, well, that's Andy Serkis. So if I see a crowd of people and Andy Serkis is in there, I know he's the bad guy.
Yeah. He's so good, though. Gosh dang it.
He's great. Yeah, he's really good in this. And God, very early on, there is an image. There is a visual of him that is so freaking unsettling that it sets up the whole rest of the film. It's not getting, I mean, it's getting good reviews, better than average reviews. It's not stellar, but I enjoyed it a lot because I watched all the Luther episodes leading up to it. However, I don't think it's required that you watch any Luther before watching this. They do set up who the character of Luther is. There are also YouTube videos that, like, if you, before you watch Luther, the Fallen Son, watch this YouTube video, and it does a good job of explaining who Luther is and what he does. Because he does cross the line quite often to sometimes success and sometimes failure in catching who he needs to catch.
Mm.
But
we love the series in this house, so we will see this. I've heard the mixed reviews. Some people said, "Look, if you're a Luther fan, this may not work for you or something." But it sounds like it worked fine for you, so I'm gonna watch it.
It worked just fine for me. I enjoyed it. I watched this on the plane flying back from Vegas last week, and it's a good watch. It's really it's heavy and it's scary at times, but it's really good.
Were there any sex scenes for the people on the plane to notice you were
no,
watching?
No, fortunately, no nudity. That's I'm trying to think if even the series had any nudity. I don't think it did.
No, not really. I don't think. I think it was pretty.
I think there was one season had one of the guys that he was chasing was a pornographer, and in the background, I think you see blurred out some people messing around, but I think that's all you get.
Some live porno. I love Luther, so I'm in. This sounds great.
Luther, the Fallen Son. It is streaming on Netflix. It was in theaters for a very short time. My guess is so that it can qualify for awards later on. I don't think it'll get any. It's good, but it's not that good.
Sure.
Streaming on Netflix as of March 10th.
You know where you saw Holly Gibney recently, both of you, is that that Roar miniseries you guys both watched. She was
Holly Gibney.
Yeah, she's the girl in the, you just said she was in, or sorry, Holly Gibney. Cynthia Erivo, sorry.
Oh,
she
yes,
played
okay.
Holly Gibney in, the character is Holly Gibney in The Outsider.
Oh,
gotcha. Mention her up.
From The Outsider. Which one, which of the...
There's a character called Ambia. It doesn't say, it was one episode, obviously, because it was a
because it's an anthology series. I'm wondering, which one she was in.
Let's see. I'm looking here.
Oh, the woman who found bite marks on her skin. Oh, yeah.
Is that the one? I still need to watch that. You guys...
Yeah, those are great. And those you can watch, in multiple sittings. Because, like you said, they're all individual. But Nicole and I both binged them like crazy, I think.
I think I watched one, and then I watched, however, eight in a row.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I got to watch that still. All right. There you go. Luther, the Fallen Son. Seems on Netflix, right? You said?
Netflix. Yes.
Excellent.
And if you want to catch up on Luther, like I said, you can watch those.
Amazon Prime? Was it an Amazon?
Amazon Prime show, though?
Luther? No, it's a BBC original. It's a BBC in the first place, but I think they may have carried it there.
Of Bosch, which I talked about.
Oh,
last week.
That's what I'm. Yeah, I'm definitely thinking of Bosch.
Yeah.
Bosch, very similar in tone. So it was funny that I talked about Bosch last week and then immediately watched Luther, the Fallen Son.
Bosch is like U.S. Luther in a lot of ways. You know, it feels similar.
No. Bosch rarely crossed the line. He was straight laced and he called out other cops who crossed the line.
That's true.
But now Bosch Legacy is very much like Luther.
Yeah. Yes,
because he's outside of the police force and now he can do what he wants. And so he's a what line? I don't see a line. There's no line.
Yeah.
Luke in the chat room said it was on Prime, but it's on BritBox.
Oh, was okay. Luther was on Hulu too, so it might have been on Prime and Hulu.
I think I watched it on Hulu, or sorry, Prime back when Kim and I watched it.
Gotcha.
So it just jumps around.
Yeah,
popular jumps around.
And who knows? It might end up somewhere else, but for right now, free on Pluto TV if you want to watch it.
Yeah, Pluto's not bad.
Pluto.
Yeah, the commercials aren't bad.
Brian Dunaway would rave about Pluto.
He would. He loves those. Nicole, let's roll it over to you. What do you got here for us?
All right. So the thing that I'm learning about my kids is they'll bring in stuff to the house and it just kind of overtakes things. So like the memes are interesting. So when Mateo finds a meme, like, have you seen the...
Oh, I cut out some of it.
You're cutting out because you're singing.
Discord has a setting where it'll do that. You can turn it off, but it's not. It's no big deal. You don't have to turn it off. But I couldn't quite.
So it's the "Let me do it for you" meme.
Oh,
have you seen that? The dog
for you.
Yeah, the stupid dog.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that was the theme. So these things kind of penetrate. I normally wouldn't experience this stuff. You know, I'm far past that kind of. In the know, I'm not that hip, but Mateo kind of brings it. So this show that I am recommending, his group of friends got into it and now we're all into it. And there's going to be a live action on Netflix coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a massive, massive
I never
meme.
Heard of it before, but it has like 1,000 episodes. So...
Yeah, it's huge.
That's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
56.
It's a lot. I saw that. So this, my first exposure to it was on TikTok, and it was like just people were doing constant memes about dogs and this thing. But then I started seeing animation, and I started thinking, what the hell? What are we doing? And now it's like a full-blown, like, grumpy cat level, you know, meme.
Are you talking about the show? Or
The meme you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm talking about the show. So,
oh, gotcha. Sorry. I thought you were
sorry. No, but but it's just, I was just using it as an example of how it just kind of things that are popular I used to know, like I was part of that. I'm not part of that now. And it's very,
you're out of the know.
So out of the know. But my kids help me keep in the know. Sure. So this show that I'm recommending is definitely popular in my kids' world. And I have a feeling it's going to be even more popular when the Netflix live action version of it comes out. They're filming it. I saw some behind the scenes stuff and it looks pretty fun. So this is, how many seasons are there? Brian, they're literally like 1,000 episodes of the show. Yeah.
So 20 seasons, ranging from a low of 14 episodes to 165 episodes, grand total of 1,056 episodes of this show.
Oh my gosh.
So this show currently is on TV at our house all the time. There's a lot of different arcs with the show itself. Mark is trying to catch up to Mateo, and I think he's on like episode 5. So play the clip.
It's
from the first episode of the first season. And there you go.
All right, here we go.
I made a promise. That's why I can't let myself die here. Open fire, man! What the hell? You're crazy. Who are you anyway?
Who, me? The future king of the pirates. Here, I didn't know which of these swords was yours, so I just brought all 3 of them.
Those are all mine, actually. I use 3 sword style.
If you fight on my side now, you'll officially be a traitor to the government. You sure you'd rather do that than die?
What, so you're the most evil man alive? Whatever. If my only two choices are joining your crew or dying, sign me up.
Some sweet anime business going on there. So yeah. it's One Piece, right? One Piece.
Yes, One Piece. Mm. The One Piece is real. That's all I hear now. The One Piece is real.
Yeah.
So what you heard in the clip, Luffy is the future king of the pirates. And he was meeting Zoro for the first time. And the way Luffy gets his power, he ate devil fruit that makes him all bendy, and like they shot him and the bullets just kind of went into his skin and then bounced back at the military people. So I keep asking Mateo, I'm like, how much, you know, where's this devil fruit grown? Like I have so many questions and he doesn't know the answers, but it's actually a fun show. I will say, probably not best for younger kids. It depicts a lot of smoking. There's some, you know, borderline cuss words depending on your household. Yeah. So far it's fine for ours, and Ava's not really interested in watching it, but Mateo, me, and Mark are all watching it, and it's going to be a long road. There's not only like 1,000 episodes, and I think it's 1,000 episodes on Hulu, because there is the dub version, which is what you heard, mm-hmm. but then there's also the original Japanese version. Mm. Is it Japanese?
Yes, it is Japanese. Yes. It's based on a manga from over there, and I think that is also like an endless library of content. There's tons of the manga.
And as we're going through the episodes, Brian in the chat said it gets very deep. It does. It's kind of going into some really hard topics, and I'm kind of watching Mateo to see how he reacts to him, if he has questions and stuff like that. It's a really good show, but you gotta invest in it. And I think there's some movies out there too we haven't even watched, the animated movies.
Yeah, there's a total of, I have a list right here. I thought I did. I can't find it now. But yeah, there's a bunch of spinoff movies that are about the crew. And then there's spinoffs that are just character spinoffs. Jeez. Live action series coming, like you mentioned.
Rainbow. It's not Brian. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Video games.
We love that. I mean, don't ever change.
Yeah, there's a bunch of video games as well. There's a recent one called, can't find it. I can't find anything now, but there's a role-playing game.
They've even made a swimsuit. Wow.
Yeah, forget all this other media. A swimsuit.
They've created a one-piece swimsuit. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I've tried to get into this. Maybe I need to do it again. The first time, I just felt like I was barraged with the audio kind of in there is what put me off. Yeah. It's like, you're with what? My three swords. Like all the kind of like normal dubbed anime thing. If I can just get past that, I'd probably have a good time.
If you
this.
Look for One Piece Netflix trailer, you're going to find a lot of kids making trailers and Rickrolling you. Yeah. So look for the official Netflix behind the scene. You'll get to see they picked a perfect Luffy too. So I don't know when that's going to come out, but the sets that they showed on that behind the scenes clip looks really cool.
This is crazy. So the original manga run started in July of 97 and still running 105 volumes. And then the show that you're recommending 1999 started and is still going, like still making episodes. Wow. That's just crazy.
And you can watch it on Netflix too. So it's on Netflix and it's also on Hulu.
I mean, does that even... Does the Simpsons still beat it, I guess, by a little bit as far as animated television? That was 89.
When did 89?
Yeah.
Simpsons definitely
still beats it, but
not a number of episodes.
No,
1,056 is still.
That's a lot, man.
That is so many. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing. I'm like, that's how have I never heard of this show before?
Yeah.
The reason why I think Mateo got into it is he was playing a Roblox game, which. Don't get me started on Roblox, but anyway.
Roblox.
It's awful. It's just awful.
It really is bad. It's bad video games, but kids love it, and I don't know what to do about it.
It's kid gambling. They are really tapping. Yeah. Like it Pet sucks. Simulator X. I followed them for a while, and they said, if you had control of the game for one day, what would you do? And I said, delete it, because it's just garbage.
It is garbage.
It brings out it's teaching really bad habits for kids.
Yeah, so. I don't like it.
But either. Anyway, he was playing, like, one of the games that he was playing was a knockoff of One Piece where you could get devil fruit and do certain things. But again, it's all collecting and paying to win and buying Robux and all that. And we finally banned Roblox in our house because it was just too much for my kid's personality type. You might have a kid that has the right personality type for it, but mine do not. So
sure. Well, it's good.
Bye bye Roblox.
Is it pretty even quality through all, you know, like if I start this thing at the beginning and I just keep going, am I going to hit like a real rut anywhere? Or is there like recommended seasons or any of that sort of thing? Do you know? Or is it just go for it and watch it?
We're just going for it and watching it.
Okay.
I think each season is its own arc, kind of like you're fighting bosses in an area. So the one I'm still in season one because I think there's like how many episodes, like 30 episodes or something.
Hey, Brian, Coverville News. There are various theme songs and character songs for a total of 51 singles that you could get in the music department. Yeah.
I'll put those on the wish list. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Wish list that up.
Yeah.
See if you get those CDs. Awesome. All right. Well, it's One Piece, everybody.
And it's real.
Yep. And where's that? Sorry. Where did you say it was streaming?
It's on Hulu and it's on Netflix.
Hulu and Netflix.
Because I think Netflix secured licensing because of the live action show that eventually is going to happen. Mateo's like, is it out yet? I'm like, no, it's not out yet. I don't know when it's coming. So,
but they're still casting for that.
They'll tease it.
Yeah.
Crunchyroll.
Oh, Crunchyroll. Yeah, it makes sense that they would have it. Yeah. Which Sony owns now. So technically you have it on your PlayStation. I'm going to play this just real quick. Hold on. That's the thing I were talking about earlier.
Thank you for getting that stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And the last part is Kirby. It's Miss Piggy.
Oh.
So it's,
oh, really? Okay.
It's Miss Piggy.
Let's see if I can find that part. Let's see. Yeah, they take her voice and like jack it up or something?
Yes, and they modify it. And it's a long-nosed really dog trying to get a Pringle.
Yeah, that's how it starts. But there are a million of these now where these animated dogs, the dog will come up and go, let me do it for you. And then his nose will go really far to fix some problem. Like, it's the weirdest meme, dude.
Oh, God. It's so weird.
Yeah.
We've had a riot with it.
I thought you were saying that's where my head exploded because I thought you were saying they were going to make a live action version of that. And I didn't realize you had moved on.
I'm sorry.
Are they really going to do a live action freaking CG dog with a long nose?
A long nose thing. Great. Yeah.
I love it.
It'll be voiced by Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Of course. Fresh off of his
sorry, I was not clear in that.
No. I think it was me hearing what I wanted to hear. And I don't know why.
You secretly want a live action.
That's what I think this proves. Yeah. I secretly want it. All right, I'm gonna play my clip. This is what a shift in tone this will be. It's also, you'll wonder why this clip is hardly anybody talking. It's because I found this movie to be very non-verbose. But I will say as a hint, this is a sequel to a 2015 film that I absolutely loved. No, it's not Mad Max Fury Road. We don't have that sequel yet. But there were a lot of good movies that year. And this is a sequel to one of those by one of my favorite directors ever, even though a new guy took the reins. Anyway, that's your hints. Here it is.
How are you feeling?
I'd feel better if someone actually told me what was going on.
We're turning you over to the Mexican army. They'll arrange to take you back to your father. Let's go.
Okay. See, hardly any talking. The movie is Sicario. I'm on the wrong page. Where's the new one? Sorry, Tyler Sheridan wrote
Day
it.
Day of the Soledad.
There you go. The Soledad. It is
Soldado.
2018. Yeah, 2018. This came out. It is currently streaming on. I wrote it down. Hulu. And I was curious because I loved the 2015 one. I didn't give this any time in 2018 because I thought, Denis Villeneuve didn't direct it because he got busy and he was off doing Blade Runner and then working on Dune. So he was taken away from the project. He wanted to do it, but he couldn't. It was written by Tyler Sheridan, the first one, which is just called Sicario. And you know his name because all of this Yellowstone stuff that's gone crazy over on Paramount, that's him. He writes and makes all that stuff, show runs all that stuff. Anyway, really good writer. I like all his movies. But this is a movie that follows up from Sicario. It is technically Sicario 2. It stars Benicio del Toro, who you heard talk in that clip, Josh Brolin, and an actress named Isabel Merced. I don't know where she's from or what she's done before, but I really liked her in this. It is really good. It's really good. And I think the director, Stefano Salima, did a good job of carrying forward the tone that Villeneuve set in the first movie. If you've never seen Sicario 1, do yourselves a favor and see that freaking movie. It is so good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's so good, Brian. It's so good. And it's got Chin Lady you like so much. What's her name?
Reese Witherspoon?
No, the
Emily
other one.
Blunt?
Emily Blunt. There you okay. go. Emily Blunt.
I do really like her a lot, actually.
And that was the other problem, is I was worried that since the sequel did not have Emily Blunt in it, that it was going to be just not as good. And here's the answer. Yeah. It is not as good, but it's still really good. Like, I think
similar to the Luther thing, the series, very good.
Right.
The movie, not as good, but still very good.
Yeah, exactly. And Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro put in killer performances, just like they did in the first film. They're very good in this. And del Toro's character, hard to explain. I don't know how to explain his character, except that he is one of the most interesting film characters in the last 10 years, and I feel like hardly anyone knows about it. It's so worth watching him just sort of stare at things. It's hard to explain. He's really great in this. Josh Brolin is great, and of course, Jeffrey Donovan reprises his role as Steve Forcing. He's like a little secondary character, but I really like him in it. Catherine Keener's in this. She was briefly in the first one as well. Yeah. Matthew Modine is in it. Shea Whigham. All these people I love are in it. And I think it's very, very good. So it's clear, it's all about like clandestine, super secret black ops sort of stuff going on. Oh, whoa, what was that? I don't know what that was.
Nah, sorry. It's just stupid YouTube.
Oh. One Piece. Going
And it's great if you're looking for like intrigue and sort of thriller action stuff and spies and toppling governments and all this sort of thing. The Sicario movies are really, really, really good. And I was surprised and kind of irritated that I took as long to watch it as I did, because I just had these precepts about, well, it's not the same director and Emily Blunt's not in it. And somehow I thought that was going to ruin it. It didn't. It was really good. And there is a third being made. I think Villeneuve is well past this, though. He's too busy doing really, really big prestige movies like Dune Part 2. And he's got, what's after that, Cleopatra and some other science fiction thing he's got after that. So like he's tied up. But I thought this guy did a great job, this director, and I think the movie's very good and worth your time. So anyway, it's over on Hulu. I don't know. Sicario 1 currently not streaming, which is annoying, because I would really watch these as a package if I were people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Keep this in mind. There's a scene where Benicio del Toro has to fire a gun at somebody, and that's not shocking in a movie about guns and war and things. But the way he fires it, you got to see him do it.
Really? Oh, now you got my curiosity piqued. Don't give it away.
It's so weird. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. You got to see it. It's amazing. Anyway.
He throws it up in the air and then bing, flicks the trigger.
I wish it was that, but not quite that. It is something to behold. Let's just say he does things with a pistol I didn't think you could do. Let's put it that way. Nice.
Oh, looks like it is on AMC Plus. So I think we still have
the
original Sicario is on AMC Plus. So if you have
recommend, Brian. If you've got that, you should watch it. Cool. It's so good.
I'm going to watch it.
You should. I even think Tina would like it. I think it's
I'm sure she would. She likes stuff like this.
Yeah. She's into sort of.
She liked Cocaine Bear. I think all bets are off on where that bar is.
That's right. That bar is all over the place. Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Soldado?
Soldado, yes.
I guess that's how you say it. And quite recommend it. All right. That's it for all these. They're all going to be up on quicktms.li. They're already there.
Boom.
So
they're already there. Yeah. You can, people could have been using it as a cheat sheet to look ahead at what we're recommending.
That's right. And, we should have Randy back next week. He'll finally talk about whatever this clip is I've been holding on to for 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks. Yeah. Three weeks.
Wow. Nicole, you got anything else going on you want to tell people about? You got anything cool going on?
Go check out the latest Wood Whisperer video. Mark's talking about parallel clamps.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Those are my favorite kind.
Yeah.
I think there's probably about 1% of your audience would even understand this.
Who knows, man? I don't know. Like, cool woodworking stuff's always been great over there, but parallel clamps, I hadn't even heard of them till today. That sounds great. Yeah. I'll check that out. The only clamps I've ever thought of is the guy, the character on Futurama called Clamps. He's the only other one I know.
The robot,
yeah. And
nipple clamps.
Nipple clamps. Oh, well, wasn't familiar with those until just now.
Two types of clamps that Scott thinks about.
That's right. All the time. Nicole, it's always good to see you, and I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Well, we've done it once again. We've careened toward the tail end of a show where I would like to now share a couple of things.
Okay.
With you today, DTNS at 2. I'll be there if you want to watch that, and if you want to watch Play Retro, 3:30 p.m. today. We got some bear safety recommendations from a texter. They didn't leave their name, but we talked about how to survive a bear. I think we talked about it in relation to Cocaine Bear. I don't remember how that came up, but
That's exactly what came up. We were talking about Cocaine Bear and like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to run uphill, you're supposed to don't run downhill, climb a tree. What do you do?
Well, he says, here are some more life-saving bear safety tips from the folks at Yellowstone.
Great. Awesome.
This is what they say: make noise as you walk through the woods so you don't startle the bear. Rangers even suggest hanging small bells on a belt loop or two.
Oh.
So you want to be a known quantity, not you don't want to be stealthy.
You don't want to surprise them, basically. Like, oh,
right.
So you'll both be surprised, and
exactly
he's bigger.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Then it says number two: apart from an air horn, make sure you carry heavy duty pepper spray, as bears have sensitive noses and will help repel them. So if they do come at you, right in the face.
Yep.
Number three: know your bears. You can identify what kinds of bears may be in the area by examining any droppings you find.
Not going to do it. this tastes a little grizzly to me. Oh, it must be a grizzly bear.
This one's grizzly. Ew. I don't want to know what grizzly tastes like. It says you can identify what kinds of bears may be in the air by examining any droppings. Black bears drop typically smell of fruit and or fish, and often have seeds in them, while grizzly bears' droppings are often smell like pepper spray and have small bells in them.
nice yeah. Callback.
Hilarious. That's weird. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's he's saying because
you ate the pepper spray and the bells. Yeah, the guy that walked in earlier. It's very nice. Nice way to end your email there, your text. I didn't get a credit. I don't know who that was. So whoever you were, thank you for that. It was great. Here's one, Brian. This is closed spaces stuff. This is from List or LTST. I'm not sure how you say
that. Love the show, though.
Oh, duh. So it's not his name. No. Well,
unless his name is Love the Show, though.
I don't know.
You know, we've had people do tattoos of TMS, so maybe somebody's actually named their child Love the Show, though.
Could be. It says small enclosed spaces is the subject. Hey, Scott, yesterday you mentioned that some people must enjoy small enclosed spaces because we were talking about, you know, you don't like them. I don't really like them.
I don't like them at all. I could not do the Bruce Willis, come to California, we'll have a few laughs. Couldn't do it.
Couldn't be stuck in there. I couldn't.
Could not
either.
Be stuck in there.
That whole 500 miles of shit and come out clean on the other side. Couldn't do it. Can't do it. I'd be in prison forever because I just can't get in the tube. Anyway,
that was the Proclaimers cover of that scene from The Shawshank Redemption, right?
I would dig 500 miles through all the poop and come out clean on the other side. Is that how it goes?
That's the one. That's the one. Exactly.
It says they're called claustrophiles instead of claustrophobes.
Interesting.
Famed sci-fi author Isaac Asimov was one, he says, from his Wikipedia page. Asimov was a claustrophile. I can't say it. He enjoyed small enclosed spaces. In the third volume of his autobiography, he recalls a childhood desire to own a magazine stand in New York City subway station where he could just enclose himself and listen to the rumble of passing trains while reading. He says, not my idea of a good time, but to each their own, I guess. Love the show, though. Anonymous. Yeah.
So what's funny about that is knowing there are people who enjoy it. You and I both would prefer not to be in enclosed spaces, yet we both enjoy the feeling of a weighted blanket on us.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It feels like that should be opposite.
It is weird because it's kind of that same you know, enclosing feeling. But mm-hmm. I bet Asimov would have, you know, sported a chub getting a weighted blanket on him.
One of his famous Asimov chubs.
Books.
Yeah. But I feel like, okay, so if I could create a small little space to curl into and read or play a game or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't sound so bad.
It doesn't. Like a little wooden, like a booth, basically. Like a booth. Right? Where you've got a TV, your console, a little comfortable little reclinery chair, and yeah. And you can close the door and have no distractions.
Yeah, a little space like that, I think I'd be fine with that.
Oh, totally.
But like a pipe or a box, I don't want that.
They've got those really cool, like, pods that thousands of dollar pods that have that sort of thing. And it reclines you in a way, and the TV is like... You know, you're looking up at the TV, but you're reclined, and so you're...
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
Like surround sound and everything.
Yeah, pad the rest of the room, lock the door, leave me in there. Right. I think I'd be okay with that.
Exactly.
But I don't want to be in... I don't want John McClane space. I don't want that.
Nope, no.
Screw that.
A little cigarette lighter.
Yeah, forget it. If you guys would like to counter any of these arguments and or send in your own thoughts and comments, we'd read them on the show. If you did, 801-471-0462 is the text line, or you can also leave voicemails there. You can also email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, or even better yet, you can go to patreon.com/TMS and get an ad-free version of the show with pre-show content every day. Yeah, that's right. Not only that, you'll be able to hear about Brian's concert experience seeing Muse last night, all right?
Yes, exactly.
You want to do that? Of course you do. Go over there and check it out, patreon.com/TMS. For low as a buck a month, you're in like Flynn. For everything else, you'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS, and we will now leave you with a song selection from self-said Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday, Mush Potatoes, not to be confused with diced tomatoes, but... all of this is making me hungry. Paul from Illinois wrote in and said, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I've been listening to a lot of the new wave of emo and pop punk lately and found a Jackson 5 cover that I really enjoy. I figure I'd share it with the Tadpool on any day that you don't have another request. Today is that day. Can I get some of Veronica's Perpetually Lengthening Sausage?" Signed, Paul.
That is a weird way to ask for that, but you know what? Yes, the answer is yes. Is this it?
The new film, Nick and Nora's Perpetually Lengthening Sausage.
That's the one. Can I find it?
I like fried chicken.
That's not it. That's not it at all.
But I have a new audio clip from Veronica that I want.
I've moved cap.
No. Okay, there it is. I found it.
Sausage.
Yeah, that's Veronica. We'll always play that if that's her, but it's not her. Anyway. Well, there you go. Well, that was, but Veronica. The I like fried chicken guy was definitely not.
Yeah, right. No, we need audio of Veronica saying, "I like fried chicken." I still swear that that's a young Justin Robert Young, just a time traveling Justin Robert.
Oh, yeah. Picture him at 10.
I like fried chicken.
That's him. That's it.
I like fried chicken.
Yep. Just all you do is lower his voice a little.
Me.
Yeah, unfriend me. Exactly. We'll compare it Monday when he's here and see how it goes.
Exactly. All right, let's get to this one. It is a cover of the song by the Jackson 5, released in 2017 as a single by, appropriately for today's topics, the band Abandoned by Bears. Here is I Want You Back.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of a Thursday edition of TMS.
Baby, give me one more chance. I'm sure you know I love you. Won't you please let me?
you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Pont-neuf.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.